What if the most broken moment of your life could become the foundation of your greatest transformation? In a Salt Lake City hotel room, a successful businessman faced a terrifying realization. He couldn't take another drink, but he had no idea how to live without one. 20 years of marriage crumbling, career hanging by a thread, family slipping away, all the external markers of success couldn't mask the internal collapse. This moment of absolute powerlessness became the birthplace of a movement that would eventually reach over 1 million people across 35,000 churches in 29 countries. The story reveals a profound truth. Sometimes we must lose everything we're clinging to before we can grasp what truly matters. Most recovery programs ask you to surrender to a vague higher power. This approach names the power specifically, Jesus, and provides a roadmap from the Sermon on the Mount. The eight principles from the Beatitudes form a counterintuitive path: admit powerlessness to find strength, mourn losses to discover comfort, become humble to inherit purpose. Think of learning to swim. When drowning, your instinct is to thrash and fight, exhausting yourself faster. Surrender and trust the water's buoyancy, and you float. The RECOVERY acrostic guides this surrender. Realize I'm not God, earnestly believe He exists and cares, consciously commit everything to Christ, openly examine my faults, voluntarily submit to change, evaluate relationships and offer forgiveness, reserve daily time with God, yield myself to serve others. Each principle builds on the previous one. You can't examine your faults until you've admitted powerlessness. You can't offer genuine forgiveness until you've experienced God's forgiveness. The process resembles peeling an onion. Each layer reveals another underneath. And yes, there are tears, but eventually you reach the core. This approach recognizes that addiction wears many masks. The workaholic executive, the perfectionist controlling every detail, the people pleaser unable to say no, the person exploding at minor frustrations, all are medicating the same underlying pain with different substances and behaviors. Traditional programs treat symptoms. This one targets the wound. Someone arrives thinking they have an anger problem, only to discover their rage masks childhood trauma. Another seeks help for overspending, but realizes they're filling an emotional void. The program welcomes struggles society deems acceptable alongside those it condemns. Workaholism sits beside alcoholism, codependency beside drug addiction. Mark went from eating out of dumpsters to living on God's word, addressing both physical addiction and spiritual emptiness. Wynette found acceptance after a suicide attempt, discovering her depression stemmed from believing she was worthless. The program helps you identify your primary struggle while recognizing how problems intertwine. Your anger fuels your drinking, which damages relationships, which increases anxiety, which intensifies anger. Breaking one link weakens the entire cycle. Walking into your first recovery meeting feels like standing at the edge of a diving board, terrifying and exhilarating simultaneously. You arrive at 6 p.m. for the barbecue dinner, where menu items like Denial Burger and Recovery Dog break the ice with humor. You're breaking bread with strangers who somehow don't feel like strangers because they understand. At 7 p.m., everyone gathers for worship, prayer, and teaching. Then comes the heart of the evening, small groups divided by gender and issue. Here's where masks come off. You introduce yourself as a believer who struggles with your issue, followed by open sharing guided by 5 essential rules. Keep it confidential, no crosstalk, focus on yourself, not others, avoid offensive language, respect time limits. These rules create psychological safety for vulnerability. When your story stays in the room and you won't be interrupted or criticized, people tell the truth, the raw, messy, beautiful reality of their struggles and victories. Newcomers start with 101 orientation, while those ready to dive deeper join step study groups. This approach offers a relationship, not just philosophy. While secular programs speak vaguely about a higher power, this program identifies Jesus Christ specifically and explains why that matters. It's the difference between having a map and having a guide, A map shows routes, a guide walks with you. Each recovery step pairs with specific scripture as practical wisdom. When facing your darkest failures during moral inventory, Romans 7:18 offers profound relief. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. You're not uniquely broken. You're experiencing the universal human condition Scripture has addressed for millennia. This biblical foundation provides clear direction instead of vague spirituality. Holistic healing, addressing body, mind, spirit together, and integration into a faith community supporting long-term recovery. You're not just attending meetings, you're joining a spiritual family. The program welcomes skeptics and seekers. You don't need to be a Christian to attend. Come as you are, experience authentic community, witness transformation, and decide for yourself. Recovery's most remarkable aspect isn't individual healing. It's what happens next. Mac and Mary's entire family now serves in the program, from leading groups to caring for children. Their brokenness became their ministry. This multiplication occurs naturally because recovery fundamentally alters how you relate to others. You learn honesty instead of manipulation, vulnerability instead of defensiveness, forgiveness instead of resentment. One person's healing ripples through their entire relational network, transforming marriages, parent-child dynamics, friendships, and workplace interactions. Churches implementing the program report cultural shifts toward greater authenticity. Prisons report reduced recidivism as people transition from drains on society to contributing members. The program includes age-specific components: the landing for teenagers navigating social pressures and family trauma, celebration station for grade schoolers learning healthy emotional expression. This generational approach breaks cycles before they fully form, offering children what their parents discovered only after decades of struggle. Reading about recovery provides knowledge, but knowledge alone changes nothing. A drowning person doesn't need swimming theory. They need to get in the water with someone who knows how to stay afloat. The question isn't whether you have struggles, but whether you're ready to stop struggling alone. Find a local group through CelebrateRecovery.com. If none exists nearby, the organization provides everything needed to start one: training, materials, ongoing support. Working through all 8 principles typically takes 9 to 12 months, investing in lasting transformation rather than temporary relief. Recovery redefines happiness, not the fleeting pleasure of numbing pain, but the deep satisfaction of authentic relationship with God, progressive freedom from destructive patterns, and genuine connection with others who understand. As one participant declares, "Celebrate Recovery works if you work it, and you are worth it." Your first step might be attending a meeting, reaching out for help, or simply admitting you need change. That initial step often requires the most courage because it means abandoning the illusion of control. But here's the beautiful paradox: admitting powerlessness is where true power begins. Jesus promised, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Combined with practical tools and supportive relationships, this spiritual foundation creates lasting recovery. Your brokenness doesn't disqualify you, it qualifies you for transformation. Rock bottom isn't the end of your story, it's the solid ground on which you'll build something beautiful.